Be with you. The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew chapter 16 and beginning at verse 13. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord our God. Amen. Well, Jesus didn't muck around, did he? Rather than shooting from the hip, though, Jesus led up to what he was going to ask by firstly throwing out the question, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And the responses were, as we heard, in the Gospel. And Jesus let their responses go through to the keeper. Then he hit them with one right between the eyes, "Who do you say I am?" Makes you think, doesn't it? And good old Peter blurts it out, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus then proceeded to tell people who he was and what he would do. At the core of our faith is the need for us to know exactly who Jesus is. If we have some kind of academic in the mind understanding of Jesus, then it really is not going to make the cut when we've got some great problem. If we just see him as some great teacher, some gifted prophet, it's not going to make the cut when we're in trouble. On the other hand, if we have a personal, heart-level understanding and acceptance of who Jesus is, then our lives can truly never be the same. Amen? Why? Because an intellectual faith understanding of Jesus is just simply not going to be enough. Because all the problems that come along, we can't hand over to somebody who lived in the past and that was it, full stop, finito. We need to be able to hand them over to the Son of the living God, the Messiah. A textbook understanding of Jesus is going to fail time and time again when we're looking for answers to loneliness and isolation, depression, anxiety, insecurity, lack of direction, lack of meaning, broken relationships, suspicion, fear, you name it. We need someone we can really, really go to and count on. And that's Jesus, the Son of the living God. God tells us that behind the problems we experience in our lives and in our society lies the pervasive power of sin. You've heard this scripture quoted before, Romans 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." a faith that understands and accepts Christianity as only a set of restrictive guidelines, a set of rules, or boiling it down to nothing else but love thy neighbour, without the first bit, love the Lord your God, it's going to fail you in your many times of need. But in faith, but a faith that results in total reorientation of our lives will not fail us. Who can vouch for that? Yeah, amen? God did not send Jesus just so that you and I could have a nice little blessing and a sing-along on a Sunday morning. He sent Jesus so that my life could be changed, your life could be changed, and through you and me, the whole world potentially could be saved. God sent Jesus to set us free from darkness. That's why Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. Colossians 1:13 reads, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves." Isn't that rather nice? Isn't that rather precious? Yeah. And in today's gospel, we have the words that Peter blurted out from the insight that Holy Spirit gave him. You are the Christ. And that's not some kind of mantra to be used for meditative reflection. I mean, sitting there saying over and over again, you are the Christ, is good up to a point, but in itself, you're going a kind of around in circles, don't you think? You need to go past that. Because you are the Christ, what does that mean? What does that mean? When we talk of salvation, it should not be limited to a concept of forgiveness and admission to heaven. They are, of course, at the core of it, but it's important to accept in our hearts that the fullness of God's salvation exceeds even those. Blows our mind, our wildest dreams aren't enough. God is at work in Christ to bring us to full life here on earth. Now. Now. And that includes peace, freedom, healing, power. Remember at the end of the gospel, what did he say about those whose sins you forgive? They are forgiven. Those whose sins you are retained, they are retained. That's a part of the ordination, you know. The ordinal for the ordination of priests and bishops. It's in there all the time. On the larger scale, that also must mean that God is at work in Christ to make us a new people, allowing us to make our mark on the society in which we live. Because if we don't do that, our faith is just limited to a little 1 meter aura around us, and that's not enough. We're not given it for our own glory. We're given it to share, to tell people, to teach, to make disciples even. Do we do that? Maybe the jury is still out on that one. Do we do it properly? Do we try? I'm sure in our own way we try sometimes, yeah? Right? Do we try enough though? I suspect not. I suspect not. One thing is clear. We must have absolutely no doubt whatsoever in our hearts that Jesus is our Messiah. No ifs or buts. In a reading from Romans 12, Eugene Peterson in the Message translation puts it like this. Take your everyday life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and your walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. What do we say at the end of our service every Sunday? Father, we offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. Isn't it interesting? And the other words too, about being various parts of the body and each part playing its own role, and not to try to do everything. Now, isn't that interesting? If we lack, if we act like a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we won't amount to much because we're trying to be lone rangers. We're meant to go and function like the marvellously well-fashioned, integral functioning parts of the body that we are made to be, without envy, within the body of Christ here, to serve without envy of what other people might be doing or what other gifts other people might have. Our gift is whatever God gives us. And that's a very private thing sometimes. Look at it like this. If a person's called to preach, he or she should preach. If it's teaching, you know how the scripture goes, they should teach. If it's leading role and ministry, that's what they should do. That's what they should do. When Peter made his great faith statement, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus identified him and renamed him as Peter. Peter, the rock. The rock. Identifying Peter's faith as the rock upon which the church would be built. When each of us truly submerges ourselves in the truth that Jesus is our Saviour, in the most personal and intimate sense of what salvation means to each and every one of us, then we too become rocks upon which the church grows and the gospel is proclaimed. So right now the question is not, what does the person alongside you say about Jesus? What can you assert to be true for you? What do you believe about Jesus? And if in your heart of hearts you can say, "He is my Messiah, he is the Son of the living God," then we are truly beginning to enter the role of servanthood for the building up of the body of Christ. Amen.